I don't have a traditional sermon this morning. And what I did during in this scripture today was to do something that I often did with children and with youth when I was doing scripture study with those age groups, was I spent some time noticing things and wondering about things. So those two, notice and wonder, are ways that with children especially, that you can approach any kind of story or media, something like that, a gentle way of teaching learn and learning and inviting engagement with the text. And then to that, I added making connections. So when Ori was in kindergarten, it was online kindergarten. So I got to hear a lot of what was happening in his kindergarten learning. And one of the things that I learned from his kindergarten teacher when they would read something together is making connections. She would invite her students to make a connection, whether that was a connection to something they experienced in their own life or a connection to something else that they had read or heard together. So that's how I approached the scripture this week. And it's something that anyone can do when you're reading scripture for yourself, whether that's to study it or to teach about it, or to, just when you want a way to like get into the story a little bit more. So how I'm going to present my reflection this morning are some of the things I noticed, some of the things that I wondered about, and some of the connections that I made. The first thing that I noticed when I was reading the story about Mary and Joseph and their very, very new infant that they took to the temple was that this is a story about a couple of teenagers. I mean, maybe Joseph was a little bit older, but I saw and I noticed teenagers who were just doing their very best to follow the traditions and religious life that they knew. That they were following what they knew they were supposed to do with their infant child, which was making these sacrifices, doing the ritual cleansing, circumcising their child. And I also connected to when I was a new parent, the first time I had a baby, and how vulnerable that feels. And that 8 days isn't very much after giving birth to make a journey like they did to the temple. And Bethlehem is not very far from Jerusalem, but it would probably be like a 2 or 3 hour walk with a little child. And I just wondered how that felt for them as new parents to feel so responsible and so vulnerable with this little child, and just want to take care of him. So just fearful for his safety and for their own well-being, and Mary especially thinking of how she was feeling in her body, wondering about that. And when they arrived at the temple, I wonder what it felt like then to be approached by an elder and have your baby taken out of your arms. Well, I wonder, were they confused? Were they feeling protective? Were they feeling relieved? And I was making a connection again to my own experience of being a new parent and both wanting a break from this overwhelming experience and being so grateful when people would take care of my baby and feeling so protective and not wanting anybody to touch my baby and really feeling that concern. But I noticed in Simeon an elder who was so delighted with the young people who were there with their child. Someone who was wise and had been listening in prayer, who was faithful. And honestly, I'm just making a connection now to Carol's sharing before we got on and her delight at her new great grandchild and the connections that we all have to little ones in our lives, and just being so delighted with these parents who were there. And I was thinking too of the way Simeon had been faithful and trusting God to lead him into the temple at that moment, hearing about how the Holy Spirit was drawing him. But I also wondered about what made him so certain that that's where he was supposed to be in that moment. And I made a connection between the way he was listening for the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if it's the same words, but the text says that the Holy Spirit fell on him. And I was connecting to when Mary had that same experience of having a visitor from God and the Holy Spirit falling on her. And I also noticed then I wondered how they connected to each other and whether they felt some of that similar experience. And then I noticed that heartbreaking line about when Simeon says to Mary that her soul too will be pierced. And I wonder how she received that. I connected that to the experience of parenting too, knowing that there's both beauty and heartbreak, and they're bound up together with each other. Because Mary also, or Gabriel also told Mary that her child would be great and do great things, and that she would be bound up in that experience. And then we get to this part of the story about Anna, another elder. So these two elders in the temple. So that's the first thing I noticed, that these two elders are there. And then I noticed and was reminded of the way in the Gospel of Luke, especially, Luke really likes to pair stories of men and women. So often in that gospel, you'll find if there's a story about a man's experience, there will also be a story about a woman. And we already, even in these two short chapters, we've already seen that with hearing Zechariah's song and then hearing Mary's song. Both of those sort of a part of the Advent story as we lead to the birth of Jesus. And there are going to be more. We're going to get to more of the Gospel of Luke in the new year, and we'll see more of that as we read through Luke. So I was noticing another elder, Anna, and she's over 80 years old, and she's lived pretty much all of her adult life, either in or connected to the temple. And what that made me wonder is, or maybe no, maybe this is a noticing and a wondering, is how she must have been cared for by the community around the temple. Widows, she was a widow. She had only been married 7 years. And so really, she must have only been in her 20s, likely, when she was widowed. And her community must have cared for her. Widows didn't have a lot of means to care for themselves. And I'm a little bit in awe of her faithfulness, and also her community's faithfulness in caring for her, and her faithfulness to the life of the temple. She's had a life of faith and wisdom and knowledge, and she's embodied the tradition by continuing to come to the temple. And what I wonder is, or what I hope maybe too, is that Mary and Joseph welcomed the wisdom and insight of these beloved elders in their community. And I wonder if the attention of these elders felt like an affirmation of what they, Mary and Joseph, had already heard, each of them from God's messengers. And I noticed too that Anna spoke about Jesus to everyone in the temple. And I wonder what that message was. What was it that she was saying in her delight and excitement? This was the first of many visits that Jesus' family would have to the temple. And we'll hear next week about when they went when he was a youth. But I wonder then if they ran into these elders again and again as they came to the temple. If Anna and Simeon were able to see Jesus grow in, forget how the scripture says it, in stature and in wisdom, did they see this child grow up? At least a little bit. I was making a lot of connections to my own experience as a youth and as a parent and in church community. And I really connected to this idea that Jesus didn't grow up in isolation. Jesus grew up surrounded by a community of faith, both by family and by mentors and elders and caregivers. And that's so much like the experience that we have in church community. Each of us is surrounded by a community of faith as we've grown with elders and mentors and people caring for us and teachers. And Mary and Joseph had these encounters with people who helped them in their life and in their faith. And that's what church offers to us all the time. And even as I get older and become an elder to people who are younger than me, I'm still so grateful for those who are older than me who can teach me and guide me. And I thought particularly of, I mean, just re a very recent example of this, when Cecil, who was a beloved elder in our congregation, reminded me of the work of Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was himself a mentor and elder to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was also a Black pastor and a leader in the civil rights movement. His work was primarily in San Francisco. And he was a pastor. That was sort of his primary thing, but he was also a deep thinker and philosopher. And the book that Cecil and I were connecting on is called Meditations of the Heart. And they're just short meditations that Howard Thurman wrote for the people in his congregation. Things that he was thinking about and responses to what his congregation was experiencing. But one of the first works that I heard by Howard Thurman is a Christmas poem. And maybe you've heard it too, but I thought I would read it because it speaks to what we're called to as Christmas, kind of the time of Christmas closes. This is the poem by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. So maybe you've heard that poem by Howard Thurman before, but to me, one of the connections that I made both to, you know, the gratitude I had for Cecil of reminding me of Howard Thurman's work, but also to that poem in particular, and the way it really speaks to the song that Mary sang, the song that Zechariah sang, and then later in Jesus' life, to the way he inaugurates his ministry by standing in the temple and proclaiming freedom to the prisoner and food to the hungry and peace among the nations. That all of us, Mary and Jesus and Howard Thurman and we now in the present, are all connected on this long line. And we're connected to each other now as elders and young people and people like myself, right kind of in the middle, operating in both directions. And how grateful I am to have this lineage going all the way back to Jesus and then all the way back before him to the prophets who taught him and making those connections. There are so many more things to notice and to wonder about. And I'm sure all of you thought of different kinds of connections and wondered different things as Tony was reading the scripture, or as you were reading it this morning. And I hope that as we go through the Gospel of Luke in these coming months, we'll be with the Gospel of Luke up until Easter, that we'll be able to make those connections with each other in community, each of us from our own experiences and through our own eyes. And I pray that will be rich for us as we do that.